Aloha everybody, it's Paul here at the War HQ and we are ready to go for another show. So coming out to you, if we get this uploaded, this will be the Friday the 1st of May 2020, and in today's show we are going to look at solo games and how to play bolt action by yourself. Play with yourself doesn't sound quite right, does it? Maybe I should rewrite the show notes. And we're going to have a look at anti-tank rifles. But before that, bit of news, we have set up our own Patreon page since we closed our main business and the online shop, because I've come out here to Barbados to follow my good lady and her career over here for a short sabbatical away from the UK's cold shores. We find ourselves without funding for the show. So I've set up a Patreon page. You can get to it through www.patreon.com/WarHQ, or just go to patreon.com and search for WarHQ and you'll find us. We've got three pledge levels up at the moment. It's still fairly embryonic, but if you'd like to help and support what I do and my passion for bolt action and things wargaming and modeling related, that's where you can go and get it. And with that, I'd like to give a shout out to Sergeant Randy Whopperom, who joined us as a sergeant, and to Lance Corporal Phil Mason. Aloha Phil, you know me and I know you, so thank you very much for your support. Every penny helps and we're most appreciative. But for now, on with the show. So in these times of ours where we're finding ourselves locked behind doors or in restricted movement and not able to play in groups, what sort of things are we keeping ourselves amused with? Lots of things I've seen online. Two of the ones that I really love the look of is the Vassal system and the Tabletop Simulator on Steam. Now, both of these things are very similar. I don't know how they actually, the mechanics of each system works. I have had a play around with Vassal in times past, but I believe they now have bolt action for Vassal. And basically what it is, it's a computerized version of a board game, and using your mouse and keyboard controls, you can use figures which you generate on the board, and you can play online with somebody who knows bolt action rules, would be a help, and you can both play out a game on there using digital 6x4 playing boards and digital markers and digital scenery, etc. Now, unfortunately, here in Barbados, I'm in Bermuda, I don't have a PC. I'm just working on an iPhone and an iPad, and I don't actually have access to these. But I saw somebody on YouTube, and please forgive me, because I did search for it and I couldn't find it. But there is a battle report up on YouTube of two guys playing on the Tabletop Simulator on Steam. And I really, really liked this. And as soon as I get access to it, I am going to be on there and playing games with people all over the world. I've met a lot of people and know a lot of people throughout the world who play bolt action, and this would be a great way to keep in touch with them and play games, and in fact could possibly be the way forward for battle reports, allowing us much more opportunity and combinations of opponents and armies. You don't need to have, you know, a set of models, you generate them on computer. It just seems a fantastic way to branch out into the world of battle reports. So I'm going to have a look at that as soon as I get a chance. Unfortunately, in my self-imposed exile here in Bermuda, as I say, I don't have a PC, so it kind of cuts me out of that. But what I would like to hear about is, any of you guys listening out there, what experiences have you had with either Tabletop Simulator or the Vassal system? Or are there any other systems out there that you could recommend that I have a look at in the meantime? But of course, being online and working with digital isn't the only way that we can play with ourselves, guys. Oh no, and I'm not talking about visiting porn sites here. I'm talking about good old World War II bolt action porn, and that's playing solo scenarios. So playing with yourself, we can't get away from the analogy, I'm sorry guys, but playing with yourself. So with bolt action, we can of course just set up the table with two armies and start playing away on our own. Calls for a little bit of self-discipline. Playing a game, you are of course playing both sides, so it's very difficult to do. If you have a secret cunning plan, the other side's going to know it, and trying to be fair to your imaginary opponent, who is yourself, hope you guys are following this, can be kind of awkward, but a lot of people do it. I have seen battle reports online for a number of years of people who are playing solo, and whether they actually admit it online or not, and some guys do, some guys don't, but it's fairly obvious sometimes that people are playing both sides for themselves. So that's one route we can go down. And I must admit, I have played bolt action on my own before. Sometimes I just don't get enough bolt action in. And now that I'm here on the island, I'm more tempted to play with myself than ever before. But another great thing to start looking into, and for those of us who are more into the tournament side of things and the competitive side of things, an area that a lot of us won't have looked into before is playing some of those campaign scenarios from the books. Now, in the army books, there aren't any scenarios other than the, well, there isn't any scenarios. The other ones are in the rule book. But in the campaign books we get, so for example, you take the Market Garden book, all through that there's a series of campaign scenarios. And these scenarios, quite a lot of them anyway, the vast majority, will give you the object of the exercise. So it may be that we've got a smaller force against a larger force, and the larger force is trying to get through a pass. So effectively, if you like, from one side of the board to the other, or to a certain place on the board, and the smaller force is the defending force, which is dug in. Now, those types of scenarios, and there are many, many more, would seem to be ideally suited to playing bolt action by yourself, because each side knows the objective, so you're not keeping that secret, and it would give people a chance to try out part of the book that for us competitive players, many of us haven't actually looked at, and find out some real gems in there. And the other thing you find with the campaign books is often most of the scenarios lead on from each other. So with Market Garden, for example, it loosely runs through the order of events that happened in Market Garden. So if you have some German models, and you don't have to use German models, you can always use another country's models to substitute for them. And perhaps you've got a parachute force, why not think about playing those out? So the campaign scenarios would seem to be an ideal solution for those kinds of situations. Now, the other option that we have open to us, and there aren't so many around at the moment, is to play scenarios which are specifically designed to be played on their own. There's only one or two around at the moment. I'm working on one myself, which is adapting a scenario which the guys that do the Gates of Antares game put up on the board, and I'm trying to develop that to bolt action rules, which is proving a little bit more difficult than I at first imagined. So that is yet again another way that you can play by yourself. Now, I haven't exhausted the combinations by any manner of means, and I'm sure there's many other ways out there that you guys can think of how we can play bolt action in these trying times by ourselves. So if you've got any suggestions, or you think there's anything I haven't looked at, why don't you just get in touch with me? You can email me at warhq.co.uk@gmail.com, or you can get in touch with me via Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram. I had to think about it there, or Instagram at thewarhq.co.uk. If you search for those, you'll find us, and you can leave us messages on any one of those platforms. That would be great. And yeah, so moving on. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about was anti-tank rifles, or the poor man's sniper, as it's known. You don't see an awful lot of anti-tank rifles going about. Even internationally, you don't see a lot of people playing anti-tank rifles. And I don't play a lot of anti-tank rifles myself, but I was thinking about it the other day, and I wonder if the good old anti-tank rifle hasn't got itself a bit of a bad name for whatever reason. There's a lot of advantages to anti-tank rifles. Now, generally, most lists can only take one anti-tank slot. Now, there are a couple of exceptions, Japanese and Soviets being one. But having just looked at the Soviet selector, I'm talking about the generic selectors here, and the Japanese selector, the Japanese can actually still only take one anti-tank rifle, although they can take multiple suicide bombers, and I think there is another option open to them. But the Russians could take three anti-tank rifles. So, cost of an anti-tank rifle, it's a two-man team. Now, a two-man team makes it more difficult to hit in the first place, because you're taking that minus one to hit for a small team. So that's a positive for it. It costs, in experience, 21 points, but then most of us wouldn't consider taking these inexperienced. At regular, it's 30 points, and at veteran, it's 39 points. So it's a relatively inexpensive dice. So adding to your dice count, and as we know, dice count and dice advantage in the bag is all very important in bolt action. So it's worth looking at that. If you haven't got a heavy hitting choice for anti-tank slots, it's something a wee bit different. It gives you, as we'll talk about in a wee bit, some chances to act exactly as people know it, the poor man's sniper. Now, the weapon, the anti-tank rifle itself, it has a plus 2 penetration and a range of 36 inches. So, same range as a sniper, but it's got a wee bit more hitting power. It does, however, not ignore cover, etc., or long range, which is a bit of a negative. But still, if you can get a shot on at 36 inches with a anti-tank rifle, you've got, at 36 inches, you would have a plus one penetration, because remember, anti-tank rounds, any round that relies on velocity to penetrate, it loses minus one of penetration at distance. So you've got the long range minus one, and it'll lose one of its penetration points for being at long range also. So those are disadvantages. However, if you do hit at long range, you add plus one, which gives it a slightly better opportunity than a sniper, once you've got the hit, to actually kill something, particularly if you're hunting veteran units. And this is where it has a slight advantage over the sniper in some cases, I would suggest. So sniper might be easier to hit you, but then if he's hitting a veteran unit, you've got to roll a 5 or a 6. And I'm talking at maximum range here. The anti-tank rifle, if you can get the hit on, which is more difficult, you only need to kill that veteran troop on a 4, because we've got the plus 1 of penetration. And of course, if it's at normal range, which is 18 inches, you've got the plus 2 of penetration, which means you're killing veteran infantrymen on a plus 3. So that's something to consider. So the most important thing, again, similar to snipers, is really your target choice with the anti-tank rifle. So a good thing to use an anti-tank rifle for, it's a fairly cheap way of getting small units to go down if you need them to. So could be worth thinking about, maybe not so much snipers. Snipers are generally going to be in hard cover when you're firing that. But things like officers or bazookas, Panzer Shreks, that type of unit, if you want them to go down, perhaps having a anti-tank rifle fire at them, or even better, an anti-tank rifle go and ambush against them, could be quite a plausible and effective idea, at least in my head, in theory. So target choice is looking for, it allows you, with a sniper, I will generally cut my target choice to regular and inexperienced troops when they're available first, simply because the sniper's more likely to take them out than anything in a veteran unit. But the anti-tank rifle allows you to put those veteran units under a bit more pressure, I would suggest, than perhaps a sniper can. So lots of other things we can use that two-man team for, obviously. Very much like the sniper, if you get them at veterans, so they're costing you 39 points, veterans are harder to kill. So even if you have a sniper against you, even if he hits them, he may put a pin on them, but he's going to find it quite difficult rolling a 5 or a 6 to take that unit out. And as a general rule of thumb, I generally try and take all my small teams at veteran if I have the points, simply because it makes the snipers' jobs harder when you're playing against them. Now, the other thing that's quite good to do is, it's quite an easy unit to hide behind hard cover is where you're going to want it, very much like a sniper, and move them up to a position where they've got a 12-inch run move or less to be taking objectives or to be, you know, blanking them out. Isn't it fun when you can't think of the word? Contest. There we go. I get there eventually. To be contesting those objectives. And they're very good units for doing that, as are any small two-man units. And being the small team just makes them more difficult to hit. Most of the time, if you've got them under any cover with the small team, and if you go down, people are going to be looking at sevens to hit them. So they can be very handy for just sneaking out and taking those objectives. Now, I haven't played anti-tank rifles, and at the moment, none of us really have the opportunity to do that, unless, as I mentioned earlier, we're on Tabletop Simulator Vassal or something else like that, where we can play digitally online with them. But I wonder if any of you guys have had some experience with them. I know that the guys from the Juggernauts have experimented with them from time to time. Mainly they've used it as a forfeit and had to play them. But I'd like to know what sort of experience people in general have had with anti-tank rifles. Do you find them a unit worth taking? Are there other advantages I haven't thought about? What are the big disadvantages I haven't thought about? Do they generally perform better than you expect? Or do they always underperform and that's why you no longer take them? I can remember back in the mists of time where I never used to take snipers, because snipers always never seemed to perform for me, and I stopped playing with them. And then a couple of years back at Las Vegas Open, I went overboard and played with four of them and thought they were the best things since sliced bread. They did really well for me. So it just shows, I think an anti-tank rifle is one of those units that I could have my opinions changed on very much. And something else I just wanted to say at the end of the scenario here. I've been listening to a lot of things online, and my good friend Kaz Walsh has a new YouTube channel up, doing lots of interviews and things online. Loved his last one, which was about the commandos and the commando sections and choices which are going to come in the new book out, which is The Commonwealth and Canadians on D-Day. It's the follow-up book to the D-Day book, and I think there is a third D-Day book which will be coming in the midst of time. So I'd encourage you all to go and have a look at that, and in the show notes at the bottom of this podcast you should be able to see the link to take you to Gaz Walsh's new YouTube site. So I was very interested in that. And I think that probably brings us to the end of the show, nearly. But the next show I'm going to do, open to the public, is going to be on May the 15th. Now, this is because now I don't have the funds at the moment to host the podcast and store the show digitally online at the podcast host. I need to pull back on the number of podcasts I would like to do. However, you can remember, go to Patreon. That's at patreon.com/warhq, and you can support us by becoming a patron there. We've got several levels. If you feel that you can go and effectively buy me a cup of coffee and a bun each month for doing these shows, there will be shows which I'll do just for my patrons in the meantime, and eventually, once we reach our first target, we'll be doing more shows. We'll go back to the 2-weekly show like we used to do in the good old days, for which will be open to everybody. So if you can feel you can support us, we would love it and greatly appreciate it if you can support us on www.patreon.com/thewarhq. So for now, guys, from sunny Bermuda, I will say mahalo and goodbye, and thank you all, and I'm glad I'm back.